Welcome to Safety Culture Excellence, brought to you by ProAct Safety, the leader in the world of safety excellence. And now for your host, Sean Galloway.
Whatever happened to motivation? Not so many years ago, the word motivation was heard often in organizational environments. There were plans and programs designed to motivate employees to be safer and/or more productive. There were incentive plans for executives and managers to motivate increased production, income, and profits. Motivational speakers were in high demand for company conferences and management retreats. Books on motivation filled the business sections of bookstores and were often seen in the bookshelves in the offices of managers and organizational leaders. A strange phenomenon called morale was assumed to be, at least in part, the outcome of successful motivation. While the goals of these motivational efforts were well-intended, the methods used were less than effective. Many programs were developed by business leaders with little to no training in the current sciences related to human motivation. The sciences themselves were far less savvy a decade or so ago than they are today, and thus led to suboptimized results. Most motivational efforts utilized incentives instead of simple rewards, which further added to the complexity of the efforts and introduced many more ways such programs could go wrong. Many organizational leaders would have simply discontinued the incentive scheme if doing so would not have been so unpopular and demotivating. Some stopped anyways, with catastrophic results. Performance experts tried to come to the rescue of the motivational efforts by correcting the ineffective practices and offering guidelines for success. Dean Spitzer's book, Supermotivation, stayed on the business bestsellers list for 8 years. Dr. Spitzer taught organizations to first stop demotivating, then to start motivating employees. He promoted the idea of rewards over incentives, which simplified the process and eliminated many ways in which motivational schemes could fail or produce undesirable results. Motivation started to be practical for anyone willing to read and learn. Many organizations became more successful, but others neglected or refused to heed the guidelines and continued to fail. Then, around the time we were sweating the Y2K scare, Alfie Kohn published his book, Punished by Rewards. His treatise was rife with failure stories about incentive schemes. He not only told of those that did not work, but emphasized the ones that backfired and produced unintended negative consequences. Somehow, he failed to find or write about any success stories which inferred that all such programs were bad. In fact, that was his premise. He admonished organizations to stop bribing employees to do what they were already being paid to do and get on with business. His narrative was compelling, and his failure case studies were real. Many organizations use this to justify abandoning all incentives, rewards, and recognition programs. If motivation programs are bad, then demotivation must be acceptable, and the removal of motivational schemes, especially those that are financially rewarding or have been in place a long time, is almost always automatically demotivating. The next wave of thinking on this subject took several different directions. One direction centered around the word influence, which tended to fill the gap left by removing motivation. That word propagated into the titles and subtitles of a number of business books. The approach to nudging workers towards increased performance started to focus on existing workplace factors rather than introducing specific motivational programs. The behavioral sciences came into prominence as managers were prompted to analyze what organizational factors actually reinforced desirable behavior in production and safety, and which factors became barriers to such behavior. The weight of natural organizational consequences replaced the introduction of artificial consequences as the focus of these efforts. The thinking that people do things for a reason, and if you don't change the reason, you might not change behavior, came in vogue. Organizations tried to change themselves to produce the kind of organizational design and workplace environment that would influence the desired performance. Another approach involved new research into what most effectively increases human performance. The old carrot and stick thinking from the motivational program days was still influencing a lot of organizations. Even if evolved from incentive programs to natural influences, the thought was that influences must reward the desired and or punish the undesired performance. The new research bore out this thinking was more or less correct if the performance was basically routine. However, if the task involved even the slightest need for cognitive action, problem-solving, analysis, etc., not only did the idea of reward and punishment not work, it made the performance significantly worse. Daniel Pink reported on this new research and discussed possible applications of it in his book, Drive. The research basically identified three factors that increased performance and cognitive efforts. They were labeled autonomy, the ability to make work decisions and direct your own actions, mastery, the opportunity for self-improvement and job skills, and purpose, working on something viewed as worthwhile or valuable. The Drive approach is proven successful in several industries which thrive on creative thinking and is being tried in others. In safety, we hear the words motivation, influences, and drive less often than we hear the word engagement. Organizational leaders sense how engaged or disengaged their workers are in safety efforts and look for ways to improve. Employee engagement has various definitions among different organizations and leaders, but tend to range from buy-in to involvement to ownership. But safety is not only the aspect of business impacted by engagement. Recent studies estimate the percentage of workers actively disengaged in their jobs at a staggering cost to the nation in terms of lost productivity and quality. Obviously, this problem is on the minds of organizational leaders and is viewed as a necessity for survival. Safety, like other aspects of business, is dependent on the performance of workers. It has been said that performance is equal to ability times motivation, P equals AM. Increasing ability is an ongoing issue that should not be ignored. But if ability can be enhanced or completely nullified by this multiplier called motivation, influence, or drive, then it should be the strategic goal of every safety effort.
For more information on this topic or how we help lead individuals and organizations towards excellence in performance and culture, visit us at proactsafety.com.